Right. Well, just taking the U.S. first, and yeah, we're still getting some reasonably strong economic numbers, but some are also quite mixed. So the strong ones, things like the ISM surveys, that was both the week before we saw the ISM manufacturing survey, which was above 60. The ISM non-manufacturing PMI came out, and for the month of September, that's gone up. That's a surprise. You know, it was expected to come back a bit because it was a 61.7 going back to August. It's gone up to 61.9. And we're getting some mixed stuff from the labour market in the US. If you're looking at the weekly initial jobless claims, the US labour market looks tight as a drum. We had initial jobless claims for the most recent week that rose by 326,000. That's actually a very low reading compared with 364,000 the week before. You know, it suggests that you've got very few people are claiming benefits, so you know, they must be doing something else, which is probably going back to work. But then we had the non-farm payrolls, and it was, you know, a real mixed bag in there because we had average hourly earnings, which are, you know, now starting to race away. You know, the market expected that average hourly earnings would rise 0.4%. They rose 0.6% month on month. And the annual rate of change now on average weekly earnings has jumped in just 1 month from 4% year on year to 4.6% year on year. Yeah, it's pretty strong wages growth, and you know, starting to underpin you know, concerns about inflation. The non-farm payrolls, though, and again, it's a weird mix because if you went back to the month before, they had a fairly substantial upward revision to the month before. The month before was, you know, weak when we first saw it at plus 235,000. That plus 235,000 was revised upwards to 366,000. But the most recent monthly reading for September was only 194,000. Market was looking for 460,000 on that. So ostensibly that looks quite soft. So it's a real mixed bag of numbers there, you know, sort of between that softness which appears to be there in the non-farm payrolls relative to the incredible strength which is running through average hourly earnings now. And the unemployment rate came down. So a bit like here, you know, the participation rate has come back a bit in the US over the last couple of months. So the unemployment rate actually fell to 4.8% from 5.2%. So not surprisingly, the market is going to be pretty mixed on these. There wasn't too much of a reaction. I think they're trying to work it out on Friday. But you know, I would expect some pretty volatile bumps around in the not too distant future. And as far as bond yields are concerned, you know, those, you know, marking their way steadily higher. One test of that will be the middle of this week because we get the September CPI coming out, followed on Thursday by the September Producer Price Index. The CPI, the market thinks it's going to be okay, so they've got it at plus 0.3% month on month. That would hold the annual inflation rate at 5.3%. You know, I say only at 5.3, that's a pretty high inflation rate. The core CPI will be 0.3%, the market thinks. That would hold the annual rate of core inflation, taking out the volatile items, at 4%, same as where it was the month before. So, you know, just watching those, because obviously you can't afford too many upside surprises on those to upset the market. Same day, we get the minutes of the last FOMC meeting. And, you know, basically the FOMC at this point, a bit mixed. You know, some of the members there are getting a bit toey. You know, they want to bring things forward. And you may remember back to that meeting that for the first time, you know, they had an interest rate hike, which was in their projections going out to 2022. You know, quite clearly, you know, there's some hawks on the committee. It'd be interesting to see what they're saying about this and, you know, what the Fed may do before long. But then on Thursday, we get producer prices. Producer prices is what's worrying everybody around the world at the moment, because in just about every place, they're rising at a fast pace. And as far as the US is concerned, the September PPI is expected to lift by 0.6%. If it lifts by 0.6, the annual rate of change in producer prices lifts to 8.7% year on year from 8.3. And the core PPI, if that comes in at 0.5, where the market's expecting, that would see a lift to 7.1% from 6.7%. The problem is that we know that even though the monthly numbers, if you annualise them, are not quite as high as the year-on-years, that looking ahead, you know, we've got some more pressure points coming into the supply chain. You know, a biggie in terms of energy prices, which is starting to feed through at the moment. So this so-called temporary inflation that central banks were talking about doesn't look temporary at all. It looks as if it's starting to become more entrenched. On Friday, we get September import prices coming out. They're expected to rise by 0.6% after falling 0.3%. Again, a lot of that will be energy prices in the September numbers. We also get some lead indicators, the regional ones like the October New York States survey, that's a manufacturing one, so purchasing managers report. And last month it had a big jump to plus 34.3, expecting it to still hold very strong at plus 27, but maybe not quite as strong as it was. And we also get September retail sales coming out, and we're looking perhaps for a little bit of a pullback, minus 0.2% after being up 0.7. So a little bit bumpy in terms of those numbers. In terms of China, last week we had only one real reading, and they had a lot of holidays last week, and it was the cakes in the private sector services PMI. We've already had the cakes in manufacturing PMI, and the official manufacturing and non-manufacturing PMIs came out the week before. The services, non-official services PMI, was surprising in that it bounced out of the 40s back into the 50s. Same thing happened with the cakes in. And it was at 46.7 going back to August. It's lifted to 53.4. So, you know, all these policy initiatives, which have been frightening people in the West that have been coming through from China recently, we have to remember that they play well to the domestic market in China. They quite like China being at odds with the rest of the world, and it's actually lifted the feeling of well-being inside China. So basically it's gone up, which is good in terms of Chinese economic activity. Now, China this week, we have their trade data coming out on Wednesday. We have their CPI, PPI coming out on Thursday. In terms of the trade data, exports were way stronger than expected going back to August. So this is more a function of the strength running through international economic activity. They're up by 25.6% year on year. They are expected to fade back a little to 21.5. That's still pretty strong. On the import side, it was up at 33.1% going back to August year on year. That's expected to fade back to about 19.2%, but still not too bad. On Thursday, we get the September CPI and PPI. Real disconnect between their CPI and their PPI at the moment. The CPI is expected to lift, but only from 0.8% to 0.9% year on year. You know, that looks okay. Their producer prices, though, are expected to lift further. And remembering that with producer prices out of China, most of their factory output goes into international markets and, you know, becomes an input price as far as most other countries are concerned around the world. And their producer price index, which was at 9.5% year-on-year in August, is expected to lift to 10.5% year-on-year. There's some price pressures developing inside the PPI, largely coming through at the lower levels of the PPI in things like energy, their rush to move both to go green in China, to clean up the air, which is one of President Xi's big things, goes into lots of big meetings and events next year. You know, that is causing all sorts of shortages for power suppliers in particular. And, of course, they've been told not to buy, you know, the best coal in the world, which is ours, and they're finding it hard to source it from anywhere else. So you've got these brownouts and power cuts which are running through China at the moment, but quite a deal of elevation running through energy prices, not just in China too. This is most way around the world at the moment. Coming to Australia, and there's some interesting data points and reports last week. Starting out with ANZ job ads still holding pretty well. These were all September readings, and basically, we'd had two of the biggest states, in lockdown through that period. The job vacancies are barely off their high, so they're only down by 2.8%. So there's still this underlying pressure that, given half a chance, businesses want to employ a lot of people here. And of course, we've heard the stories about what one thing we're experiencing here in New South Wales is we're opening up a lot of hospitality as of today, and we're doing it on skeleton staff. Staff just not available because many of them gave up being in hospitality, moved into other industries, and there's plenty of stories of businesses here paying $1,000 sign-on bonuses again. These are basic people to pull a beer. There's a lot of pressure starting to build up just through wage costs, which probably are not well recognised at the moment. We also had our international trade data. This is one that surprised me. We thought we should be coming back here. All of our problems with China. We thought there should have been some pullback in the size of our trade surplus. It was at a record $12.1 billion going back to July. We thought it might come back a bit to around about $10 to $10.5 billion. It went the other way and went to a new crazy record high of $15.1 billion. Exports actually rose 4% in the month, which was an utter surprise, whilst imports came down by 1%. In those exports, it's the non-rural, it's the iron ore still running strong, but rural is just going through the roof. We've had a great season, and it's finding markets everywhere. So a lot of strength running through those international trade numbers. And some of it's price, but there's a little bit of volume in there as well. We had the RBA. There was no change to their policy settings. They're still talking about keeping interest rates at 0.1% all the way through to 2024. They confirmed the current wind back, which is occurring through bond buying to $4 billion worth a week from $5 billion a week. So there's no change to that. There were some mentions of some of the potential problems that are rising in financial stability. And at the end of last week, we had the financial stability review, the half yearly, that came through from the Reserve Bank. And for the first time, we've got an admission from the Reserve Bank that there is a risk, and this is their headline, there is a risk of excessive borrowing due to low interest rates and rising house prices. Now, this is the first time they've really had this admission in here. They talk a little bit about the vulnerabilities that are there because of high house prices. They also, for the first time, are just pointing out that they really want to try and take some of this risk out because if interest rates rise, as eventually they will, a lot of households are going to find this very, very difficult to deal with. And so we've got the first warning, really, from the Reserve Bank that they may be looking at things. And the issue is it's at odds with what they're saying about keeping interest rates very low, because that's obviously contributing to the problem. They've admitted it. This is probably the first sign that we should expect that 2024 rise in interest rates to be brought forward at some point, depending on how well things pick up after the lockdowns end in New South Wales and Victoria. We've got another warning on that, really, from across the Tasman. The RBNZ lifted their cash rate by 25 basis points last week. They've gone up from 0.25% to 0.5%, largely because of the problems running through house prices there. The other interesting part about the RBNZ was they're pretty hawkish about how much they're going to put interest rates up. They're going to keep doing it over the course of the next year or so. We've got these interest rates rising just about around the world. We've got this inflation pressure building up around the world. The thing that stands out like a sore thumb at the moment is the RBA's, oh, no, we can hold these rates down all the way through to 2024. It doesn't even, it's starting to look pretty problematic. And the question is, at what point does it break? How does that start to pan out? One area, obviously, that there's a real warning in all this now for the continuation of high house prices. We've already got APRA leaning into it with macroprudential. Obviously, they won't stop at what they've already done. Now we've got the RBA with this warning too. With the risk that interest rates are slowly and inexorably going to start to build up. Just interesting reading on that one. Just in terms of the data this week, we've got business and consumer business confidence, business sentiment coming out from the NAB survey. That comes out as a September reading and comes out on Tuesday. Business sentiment has actually held well, has held up well all the way through the lockdowns. It was a plus 14 going back last month. Business confidence took a bit of a hit, obviously, with the shutdowns, was at minus 5. But we'd expect to see both of those rise a bit with the most recent reading because of the moves towards getting plans of how to get out of lockdowns. Westpac consumer sentiment actually rose last month. It was up 2%, will probably rise again for the most recent one. And then we get the labour force data on Thursday, which is really problematic these days because, you're going to get probably a big fall in employment again. Employment was minus 146,300 going back to August. Will probably fall at least 100,000 again. Market thinks consensus 120,000 down. But a lot of these people, the reason that they're not employed is they're still connected to an employer but are working no hours. So that means they're not employed. But the ABS assumes that they've also come out of the labour force, that they've fallen out of the labour force, which they haven't, but it will assume that. And so the participation rate will come down a long way, probably from 65.2% down to 64.7%. The unemployment rate will go up, but probably not by very much. It was down at a 12-year low, 4.5% last month, will probably lift a bit to 4.8%. But, but the truth of these numbers is, we're not going to get clean reads on these numbers until we start, not even the October reading. It's going to be the November, December readings. And what they will then show will be probably an incredibly tight labour market here. We've got pressure points just about in many sectors. We're starting to get wage claims coming through. One that's obvious at the moment is obviously in parcel deliveries. And just about every major parcel delivery company now has got strikes, is facing strikes and for pay claims. Here in New South Wales, we've got a running one which has started on the public transport system for a much higher pay increase. Our teachers are about to go on strike for higher pay. These things are starting to build up, and it's worthwhile bearing in mind that what we've seen for the last year or so looks as if it's on the brink of changing, and changing in quite a large fashion. Europe last week, we had Centix investor confidence came out. It came down a bit, but not much, to 16.9 from 19.6. Another warning on prices, August producer prices out of Europe. They went up from 12.4% year on year, going back to July, to to 13.4% year on year for the month of August. And we've got all these energy price pressures which are still to feed into this. It's probably likely that over the next month or two, we're going to see producer prices out of Europe up over 20% year on year. You know, this really is pretty significant, you know, because a lot of their output's also exported. So, yeah, the prices of most things we see here in Australia, which are largely imported for things like white goods and all these sorts of bits and pieces, have got some very big price increases to come through them over the course of the next year or so. Now, Europe this week, you know, with the data coming out, not a lot. You know, we got things like economic sentiment coming out. That was strong last month, 31.1. Similar sort of figure expected for this month. Industrial production, which was strong in July, but they think there's a bit of a pullback running through August because of the beginnings of those energy problems. Up 1.5% going back to July, down 1.6% in the month of August. But all told, as I say, you know, it's this. We've got strong growth still around the place mostly. You know, we've got the beginnings of central banks starting to become more hawkish. We've also got plenty of evidence that, you know, we're getting now into the foothills of inflation, you know, the likes of which most of us, well, I have seen it before because I was working in the 1970s and I remember it well. But you know, most people don't remember the working through the 1970s. It's not pretty when it starts. It's sort of it gets out of hand very, very quick. And so it's just watching what's starting to develop now. But it looks mighty like 1973, 74 again.